Visiting Plymouth Plantation is like stepping back into the 17th century. A replica of the Mayflower, which carried the colonists from England, rocked gently in the harbor. The more than two-month Atlantic crossing had been a difficult journey for the 100 men, women, and children hoping to start a new life in the New World. Rita Hutchinson, who works on the historic recreation of that ship, says little is known about the crossing, except what the first governor of the colony wrote in his journal many years later.
We know that it was a stormy crossing. We know a baby was born. We know one of the passengers fell overboard. We know that there was some pretty serious damage to the ship during one of the storms.
When the colonists landed, they were greeted by the native people, the Wampanoag. The Wampanoag dressed in animal skins decorated with fur and feathers. They wore teeth, bones, and gourds as jewelry and on their clothing. They painted their skin with various berries and minerals. They were a matriarchal society. Extended families shared dwellings made of bent saplings and rushes.
I'm feeding the fire under a clay pot to cook a soup of crab meat and smoked clams with wild garlic and corn.
At Plymouth Plantation, actors dressed in period costumes recreate the daily life of the 17th century. Those portraying the Wampanoag, like this young woman preparing food outside one home, speak in modern English so that visitors can better understand their story.
Soups are very common. We don't have set meals in our society. People ate as they were hungry, so soups are good for that. But you'd have all different types. A lot of fish and shellfish in the warm months, red meats in the cold weather. But more than half of our diet is fruits and vegetables. So.
Each Wampanoag family had their own garden where they grew corn, beans, and squash. And they also gathered wild foods. Elsewhere in the recreated village, a man in buckskins with a small pouch made of skunkskin tied around his waist is burning out the inside of a huge log. He explains that when he's finished, the log will be a canoe, fit to travel on the open ocean.
So traditionally, you burn everything away that doesn't look like a canoe. That's our only description. The sides, we want the sides to be at about an inch thick. We want the bottom to be 4 to 6 inches thick. By having all the wood in the bottom, acts like a natural keel, keeps it upright.
The Wampanoag taught the colonists all these skills and more. Without their help, historians say, it's doubtful that the pilgrims would have survived. Down the road from the Wampanoag village is a reconstruction of the colonist settlement. Here the actors not only wear period costumes and work at the daily tasks of an established 1627 community, they also speak as if they were of the time. A man in a large, flimsy leather hat and white beard work splitting boards for the exterior of some new buildings.
We're just arriving here. Oh, welcome. We're just arriving as well. How goes the work? Oh, this will be riven out or split out for clapboards for the side of a building we're going to rise up here. But rather than to saw them, I would just split them out for it keeps the grain of it then. Easier. Now I think I need about another 50 or so before we'll have enough to cover this building.
Nearby, two little girls are hard at work, helping get food ready for the winter.
We are trading corn so we can hang it up to dry.
A woman in a long dress and white cap overseeing the girls' work stops to explain what life is like for her family.
We've had two children, and of course we have a boarder, as many do here. There's mayhaps 5 and 30 unmarried men in the town, and we take them in and raise them up, you know, care for them as a family member, and they can't live alone, right? Mm-hmm. They've got no good wives, so you needed to be about 16 to buy a share in this company. And so all of these adventurous boys, many of them came over here.
Because there were so few jobs in England, many of those who came to the New World were teenage boys. There were plenty of opportunities to work in the colony. An actor portraying a blacksmith stands inside his hot shop, sweat beading on his forehead as he explains that all the colonists had purchased an ownership stake in the Plymouth colony, and that was how they earned their living.
But I've not been earning cash, money, or anything particularly during the course of this time. What we have been doing as a company is improving our assets. And now this next year we'll divide them, but it won't be, you know, little bags of silver. it will be the properties here and the animals that we've increased and those sorts of things.
At the end of that very difficult first year, the Wampanoagan colonists came together for a great feast. As a woman in Native American dress explains, it was a way of advancing the good relations between the two groups.
When it came time to the harvest, Massasoit went up there with 90 men and 5 deers and more or less shared the treaties and alliances that they had met. It wasn't something that was supposed to be a celebration every single year. It was something that had a business relationship. This was all about business when the English came.
But just as the reason for the feast has been reinterpreted over the years, so has the story of the friendship. Historian John Kemp explains that the colonists eventually broke their treaties with the Wampanoag, which led to many battles and the enslavement of many Native people. And, he says, American folklore vilified the Wampanoag and turned the colonists into the embodiment of noble pioneers.
The ideal of the Pilgrims is so strong, and that comes from the Victorian period when people like John Adams, the second president, and his son John Quincy Adams, Abraham Lincoln, the cultural leaders, were all very taken with this sort of romantic Pilgrim story, which has elements of truth in it, but also is a very vague and hazy distortion of what actually had happened.
Whatever the true origin of Thanksgiving, the celebration has turned into an annual event for all Americans to give thanks. I'm Erica Celeste in Plymouth, Massachusetts.